Hello and welcome to our latest online service. It's great to be able to lead you in this service today. If you're new to us, please do get in touch and we'd love to hear from you and find out where you're from and how you found us. Contact details will come up at the end of this video. Now, before we head into the service proper, I've been asked to read a statement from the leadership team with regards to the church buildings. So, following a review of the current government guidelines, the leadership team have concluded that we should not reopen the church building for worship at this time. We propose that initially small meetings may be organised in gardens in line with guidance. We will plan towards opening the building for a socially distanced prayer day in August. Church members will be consulted on these interim decisions, and the proposals will be reviewed in the light of feedback and any changes to guidance. In the meantime, we will continue to offer online and recorded service materials. The building will remain closed until further notice. If you require access for any reason, please contact Trevor or Chris. Now, I'm sure that can't have been an easy decision for our leadership team to make. However, although the church building is closed, the church is still very much alive and open. We're still worshipping, albeit in our own homes and separately. We're still serving. We're still listening to the Lord. We're still gathering together for prayer via Zoom and to study His word. Okay, let's crack on with the rest of the service now. Chris is going to be bringing us the message later on, and Greta is going to be leading us in a time of intercessory prayer. But first, a few verses from Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. We're going to praise God now. I'm going to show a video. It's a song that I actually came across on the radio a couple of weeks ago. It's just such a joyous song of praise and worship to the Lord. It's quite repetitive, so the words are very easy to pick up. So, yeah, please feel free to sing along at home. Oh Lord, we just praise you for what you are, Lord, for who you are. Lord, as the song says, we praise you with one accord. We praise you for your graciousness, your goodness to us. We praise you because you're our Saviour, our healer, and our deliverer. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, our mission of the month this month is Stand By Me. As you may well know, we sponsor a child through this organisation, Stand By Me. So I'm just going to show a short 2 minute video now that just gives a very broad overview of the sort of work that Stand By Me do. Stand By Me are a Christian organisation who work in four key areas to provide children with unconditional love and acceptance. They have children's homes, they work in schools, they have care centres who bridge the gap for children who have families but need some extra love and care, and they also provide family support to the children's families, medical, social needs that they may well have, as well as helping them with food, rent, and even small business grants. From their latest communication to us, their latest newsletter, just a very short paragraph here about how COVID-19 has affected them. They say the arrival of COVID-19 has presented us with unforeseen challenges which have required us to adapt to the financial downturn while immediately putting in place the necessary measures to ensure our children and their families remain healthy and safe. However, I am confident that with God's guidance and your support, we will overcome this challenging chapter and continue to meet the urgent needs of thousands of children and their families around the world. We have been able to respond quickly during this pandemic by providing over 4,000 emergency food parcels to families most at risk, replacing their anxiety and the fear of starvation with security and sufficient food. You may also know that we, as a church, support a young lady in a school, or a child rather, in a school in Nepal. So her name is Sita. I'm just going to read a little bit about her, and hopefully, if the PowerPoint's working okay, you should be able to see a photo of her. So Sita is from Darding District in a remote village and from a Christian family. This area was affected badly by the 2015 earthquake, and Sita and her family became homeless and landless. They had to move into a tent. Sita's father and mother were separated, and her father has remarried and no longer has contact with Sita or helps to support her. So Sita was being cared for by her mother, along with her two brothers and a sister. Sita's mother began working as a daily labourer. Stand By Me wanted to help this family with the building of a new house and then help them further. Sita came to live in our girls' home here in Hetauda, pardon the pronunciations, being cared for by her house mother, Lydia. She's also been able to be educated here in the Hetauda Academy. Sita has made some new friends here. She also has some of her old friends from home here too, so she is very happy to be here with them. She has settled down really well. She started school in class two and is enjoying school. Let's just pray for the work of Stand By Me and Sita and all the other children that they support. Dear Lord, I thank you for Stand By Me. I thank you for the works that they're doing amongst underprivileged children in this world. And Lord, I just pray that through this coronavirus pandemic, that they will still have the resources to be able to continue to support the families that they need to. Lord, I pray for Sita. I pray, Lord, that she will be growing in her knowledge of you and her love of you. And Lord, I just thank you for her and thank you for the opportunity that we have as a church to be able to support her. Amen. Going to hand over now to Greta, who's going to lead us in a time of intercessory prayer.
In our intercessory prayer time today, there are three items on my heart that I would like to pray about. After each item, I will leave a time for you to pray to the Lord individually. Let us quieten ourselves before the Lord. Let us come into his presence. The first prayer is a prayer of thanks. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your protection upon Burwell Baptist Church during this pandemic situation in our world, for your provision for our daily needs and all the blessings that you have given us in the midst of the circumstances. Amen. Perhaps you would like to offer a prayer of thanks to the Lord right now. Our next prayer is a prayer where we say sorry to the Lord. Dear Lord, we are sorry for anything that we have done that we should not have done. Lord, we are sorry for anything that we have not done that we should have done. Heavenly Father, forgive our sins. Please forgive us when we don't listen to you properly and when we don't obey you as we should. We repent of these things, Lord, and ask for your forgiveness. Amen. Perhaps you would like to say sorry to the Lord about something. Our third prayer is a prayer where we can ask the Lord something. Dear Lord, please protect those who care for us, who go above and beyond their duty in order to keep us safe. Heavenly Father, we pray for those in the medical field, also those in the spiritual area, such as ministers, chaplains, those in children's work, and also for the military, who protect us constantly. Amen. Perhaps you would like to ask the Lord for something. Heavenly Father, we offer these prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The reading today is Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 12. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Chris is now going to bring the message to us, but before he does, let's pray. Oh Lord, I pray that you will open up our ears and our eyes and our hearts to what you are saying to us this morning. Oh Lord, I pray for Chris as he expounds this word and brings it to us. And thank you for the words that you've laid on his heart to bring to us. And Lord, I just thank you for him. Pray that you will bless him in his continuing ministry here. Amen.
Well, thanks, Karen, and all those that have contributed to this week's Worship at Home service, and welcome to you all. We're approaching the end of our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We've seen how Jesus confronted those who did their works of righteousness to win honour and admiration. But he didn't suggest abandoning good works altogether. Instead, he called for a radical change in motivation. Last week, we began to explore these motivators, our values, our worldview, our attitude to money, and what we seek in life. Only faith in Jesus' finished work frees us from these legalistic, law-keeping attitudes and from self-promoting good works. Only faith in God's love for us frees us from seeking to establish our own security, worth, and significance. Faith enables us to do the good works God's prepared for us to do, motivated by love for God and compassion for others. This is how Jesus' disciples can exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. When we believe in Jesus as Lord and Saviour for the first time, we move from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. It's a radical change. Light is completely different to utter darkness. But light can get brighter and brighter. This process of being made new happens by the transforming process of renewing our minds. Jesus didn't simply come and do good works and then die on the cross for our sins. He spent much of his time teaching in word and action. He was committed to transforming minds as well as winning hearts. As we study the Sermon on the Mount, we're listening again to Jesus' teaching. God's word doesn't simply inform, it also transforms. Either we accept his word and repent, change our minds, so our motives are transformed, or we resist it and harden our hearts. Today's reading contains a verse which I've been getting you to look ahead to throughout this series, Matthew 7 and verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. This verse must not be ripped out of its context. Half the verse is oft quoted. Do to others what you would have them do to you. It's then compared to other religious teachers and used to suggest that what really matters is just being kind to each other. Let me assure you that God did not take on human flesh, dedicate that life to service, teaching, suffering, and death on a cross, just to tell us to be nicer to each other. Just as I've encouraged you to look ahead to this verse to shed light on Jesus' teaching in the rest of the chapters, now I urge you to remember what Jesus said at the beginning. Chapter 5 and verse 17. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. The law and the prophets matter. To understand the sacrificial death of Jesus and our need for it, we need to see it in the light of the law. To understand what justice and mercy are, we need to see them in the light of the prophets. If we reduce Jesus' teaching to do to others what you think best, or do to others what they want you to do, then we completely misrepresented his teaching. This is the humanist and individualistic teaching of our age, which seeks to abolish the law and the prophets. In the light of Jesus fulfilling the law and the prophets and our faith in his finished work, what does it mean to do to others what we would have them do to us? We're going to return to that later, but let's look at two aspects that are revealed in today's passage. Do not judge. Ask, seek, and knock. First, do not judge. In the first two verses of chapter 7, it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." In the Beatitudes, we read the blessing on the merciful. It's that they will be shown mercy. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray for forgiveness for others and told us that if we did not forgive, we would not be forgiven. Jesus brings a warning here like that warning about forgiveness. In the same way as you judge others, you'll be judged. We'd be wise to be merciful to others because we know we need mercy. Last week, we heard his teaching that we need a generous eye, to have a worldview which thinks positively about others in order to make good decisions. A plank or a log in the eye would certainly distort one's vision. The plank which distorts judgment in this case is focusing on the details of the law but neglecting the more important matters of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Jesus particularly has in mind the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who believe that they will fulfill the law and the prophets by demanding strict adherence to the details of the law from others, and their own strict observance is done for show, so that other people will see it. This focus on the sawdust but neglecting the plank is what Jesus calls hypocrisy. He unpacks it further in Matthew chapter 23. The judgment Jesus condemns is self-righteous and self-deluded judgment. Condemning this false judgment is not the same as pretending that there is no such thing as evil. There is good and evil in the world. There is right and wrong. There will be judgment. The wheat and the weeds will be separated. The sheep and the goats will be separated to face reward and punishment. The issue is when this separation will take place and who is qualified to judge. The time is not now, and we are not qualified to judge. Our understanding is limited and our judgment is corrupted. Jesus will be the judge. He is both without sin and knows the heart. He will judge justly and with mercy. So the first reason to exercise mercy is that we're setting the measure by which we will be judged. The second reason is that offering unsolicited criticism is unlikely to be warmly received. Jesus uses the image of offering sacred things to dogs and pearls to pigs. Not very flattering images. These are the unclean animals, and they stand as symbols for those who do not have the capacity to receive correction. Let's look at the second part of our revelation today. Ask, seek, and knock. In verse 7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." Not judging and not sharing the pearls of the kingdom with dogs and pigs could be seen as a call to retreat into personal holiness. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is a call to join Jesus in his work of the kingdom, a call to do good works from right motives. Jesus has come to remove the plank from our eyes so that we can remove the speck in our brother's eyes. We're invited to join this work by persistently petitioning the Father, both for ourselves and for others. Asking, seeking, and knocking are decisive actions intended to bring about change in the world. The passage goes on to make clear that Jesus has in mind prayer to our Heavenly Father. How much more will your Heavenly Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Note first that we're asking for gifts, unmerited expressions of God's love for us. Second, these gifts come from a positive engagement with God and the world, not a withdrawal into passive piety. As in the Lord's Prayer, we're being invited to cooperate with God in the building of his kingdom by asking for his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Whilst asking, seeking, and knocking are relevant to all prayer, in this context, I think Jesus specifically has in mind this contrast with the dogs and the pigs who will not accept the sacred and precious things which are offered to them. His disciples are to actively ask, seek, and knock until they receive the good gifts the Father has for themselves and for others. Good gifts like the honouring of God's name, the coming of his kingdom, our daily bread, our forgiveness, our deliverance. We now arrive at verse 12. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." We can now see that this is not an invitation to make it up as we go along. The law and the prophets detail what we should want others to do to us, and hence how we should behave towards them. So how should we apply this? There is a form of religion which seeks to make its adherents feel better about themselves by constantly pointing out the specks in the eyes of others. There'll be lots of sermons about the bad things that other people and other churches do. This is a form of hypocrisy. Such churches are popular because they give a sense of moral superiority. Equally, there are churches who seek to abolish the law and the prophets and say anything goes. They teach that love means we should all do what seems right to us and accept every behaviour. These churches are popular because there, no one feels convicted about their sin. Jesus told us to go and make disciples and teach them to obey all that he commanded us. Jesus calls disciples to join him in his kingdom building work. This will involve good works and prayer. These will arise from our security in his finished work and an assurance that we are coming to the Heavenly Father who is willing to give us good gifts to those who ask. Our priority will be his honour and his will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. As a church, we need to avoid standing in judgment on the weaknesses of others whilst excusing more important sins in our own lives. We also need to be faithful to the commandments of Jesus, which fulfil the law and the prophets. We are to make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. As we move into this next phase of our response to the pandemic, we'll need to reimagine what good works will look like. But our priorities and our motivations will remain unchanged: love for God and love for our neighbours. As we work in those messy borderlands, we'll need to be merciful and to keep a keen awareness of our own need for mercy. We'll also need to be persistent in prayer as we seek to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. How should we respond? Well, don't be like the dogs and the pigs who fail to recognise or accept the treasures which God offers, but actively ask, seek, and knock in prayer. We need to have the planks removed from our eye, not simply to make us better people, but so we're able to remove the speck from our brothers and sisters' eye. Jesus' assurance is that our Heavenly Father will give good gifts to those who ask. Remember particularly the promise that the door will be open to those who knock. We need a doorway for the gospel. The chapel doors may remain closed, but we need a door to be opened into the hearts of his people. Will you join me in praying for God to open that door? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you remove the plank from our eye so that we might see clearly to help others. We're sorry for the times where we've judged others harshly. In the light of the great mercy we've received, help us to be merciful. We seek your kingdom purposes in our individual lives and as a church. We seek intimacy with you. We hear you knocking and open the door of our church to you, praying, "Come, Holy Spirit." We knock that you might open the doors of heaven and pour out your blessing on our land. We pray that you will open a door for the gospel in our community. May God Almighty bless us and make us fruitful and increase our numbers until we become a community of peoples. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you to everybody who's played a part in this morning's service, to Greta for leading the prayers, to Andy for stitching everything together, and to Mike for choosing the worship songs, which will appear after this. Please don't forget to join us for coffee and chat via Zoom. The link will appear on Facebook. And I look forward to worshipping with you all again soon. Going to close with chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 12, the last verse of today's reading. I think it's a good one to take with us into the week. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets.